Let's do it. Welcome in on this Wednesday. Hope everybody is getting through their week just fine. That's all we're here to do today. We're just trying to get you a little bit closer to the football. So hopefully we will accomplish that goal over the next 3 hours or so. Jam-packed loaded show for you, by the way. Jarrell Casey going to be here in just about an hour from now. He's the 12th Titan at Nissan Stadium ahead of the Titans and the Bengals squaring off in the divisional round. So we look forward to hearing from number 99 on this radio show in just a little while. 615-737-1045. Jump in if you want to. 615-737-1045. Your questions, comments, concerns, opinions about this Titans team. Want to get to a lot of stuff today. We've got a really good show for you. You've got the dumbest thing in sports. There's plenty of dumb things to peel through. That's going to be directly after Jarrell. And we've got the Bengals version of Coach Dave McGinnis. Dave Lapham is going to join us in the noon hour. But we got to start with yesterday. We got to start with Derrick Henry being in a fully padded practice for the first time in quite some time. Boys and girls, look pretty good out there. Now, I was watching this take place, and I was watching a lot of the videos that everybody was putting out, and I saw the fact that they pulled two defensive players. Tony Dews, the running back coach, just yanked two defensive players over to the running back drills and said, here, you're going to be the battering ram dummies for the running back as we try and get him used to contact yet again. Now, it would be funny to say that you have to get somebody like Derrick Henry used to contact again. But, I mean, this is, what are we going on, like 12 weeks at this point since he's been in a contact situation? Derrick Henry is going to play on Saturday. It's just a matter of how close to 100% can they get this man up to speed. And that was what Mike Vrabel touched on yesterday when he met with the media at St. Thomas Sports Park. Basically what the ramp-up process for number 22 was going to look like. With that being said, Mike Vrabel, you know, Mike is doing his best, as we said yesterday. Mike Vrabel is doing his best to manage expectations. And so when he talked about Derrick Henry yesterday, this is what the Titans head coach had to say.
We'll be in pads today. I think that's a good step. We'll have to have some contact. It's been a while, you know, since he's had, you know, contact. You know, we're going to have to do these things that will come close to replicating what's going to be asked of him in a football game. So, you know, again, we'll have a week of work and we'll see how he feels and make a decision.
So at this point, it is going to be, you know, they can slow play it all they want. They can try and temper expectations all they want. People are going to lose their minds for Derrick Henry when he takes the field. Now, I mean, all things considered, he looked pretty good. And, you know, I came away from that feeling kind of bad for somebody like Jayon Brown, who has basically been reduced to a tackling dummy, who was a healthy scratch against the Houston Texans, and now he's out there helping Derrick Henry go through running back drills to make sure that he's used to contact. 615-737-1045, you can jump in on the conversation. So, he's still not been activated, which is a question that a lot of you have been asking. He has still basically 2 weeks left for them to be able to activate him before they have to put him on the active roster. Is it going to take the full 2 weeks? No, because 2 weeks of their season at this point in the year, that's not guaranteed. He's not counting against the team's 53-man roster until such time as he is activated off of injured reserve. They will need to activate him at the latest by 3 p.m. Central Time on Friday for him to be eligible to play in this game. And also of note, talking about Titans practice, they'll be back on the field later today. You're going to hear from Ryan Tannehill later on in the show. Also of note, there was 3 players on the Titans injury report yesterday. 3. I thought it was a misprint when Titans PR sent that to my email yesterday, sent that out to all of us. 3 players. Naquan Jones, who was dealing with a knee injury. Buster Skrine, who's dealing with a hammy. By the way, both of those players, full go. The only person who was in any kind of a limited capacity for the Tennessee Titans on the practice field yesterday was Tyrre Tartt, who's missed a significant amount of time at this point dealing with an ankle injury. It is wild to see something like that, given the rate of injury that this team has experienced all year long. They're getting guys back all over the place. You talk about somebody like Torrey Carter, the fullback who was moved from the designated for return from IR list on Monday. He's in that same kind of window that Derrick Henry, actually he's a week behind Derrick Henry as far as designated to return is concerned, but they're even getting the second fullback on the roster back and healthy. This is going to be, and you know, I looked at the Bengals injury report as well. They don't look like they're in very bad shape outside of the players who we know they're going to be without, guys like Larry Ogunjobi, who we talked about yesterday. And it was interesting to see, I don't know if this was out by the time we were still on the air yesterday, but Trey Hendrickson, who was ruled out of that Saturday wild card game against the Raiders with a concussion, he was a limited participant in practice. If they don't have Trey Hendrickson, they're banged, kids. It's a good defense that needs its best player, and Trey Hendrickson, by a mile, is the best player on this rebuilt Bengals defense. We're going to go through the entirety, basically, of the Bengals roster and how they've kind of gotten to this point with Dave Lapham later in the show. You're going to enjoy that conversation a lot. Dave's a stud. And we're also going to talk about Ryan Tannehill. Basically, off our conversation yesterday about which Titans player is under the most pressure to perform against the Bengals. For me, that player is Ryan Tannehill. He's got a lot to prove to people that there's going to be a narrative set about Ryan Tannehill regardless of Saturday's outcome, whether they win or whether they lose. There's going to be a narrative surrounding that quarterback, whether he wants to deal with it or not. Ryan Tannehill and the conversation about him and Joe Burrow, is it going to be necessary for him to out-duel one of the hottest rookie quarterbacks, or excuse me, not rookie, second-year quarterbacks, one of the hottest quarterbacks in the sport at this point? It's a lot to ask of Ryan Tannehill, but this is the time that it needs to be asked. The more that I go through this, the more that I think, I don't know necessarily how to feel about this game. And we went through the whole thing to start the show yesterday, and this is probably the best possible, I mean, it is the best possible opponent for the Titans to play. They're bringing Derrick Henry back at the right time against a team who is suffering along the defensive line. It's a perfect situation for an offensive line coming off a bye week and a running back who, you know, prides himself on just being able to run through your face mask over and over and over again. But for Ryan Tannehill, the situation is different. If called upon, do you trust him to win you a game when you're having to attempt 40, 45, hell, 50 passes? What has gone wrong if you've been so taken out of your game plan that would allow that? Because I did an interview yesterday and I was asked that question. Do I trust Ryan Tannehill to win a game like that if they're just going to have to get into a straight-up shootout against one of the most explosive offenses in football? And the question is an interesting one because, one, if they're attempting 40-plus passes in a game, something terrible has happened. Either they're turning the ball over and it's led to a situation where they're trailing and they're having to chase. They've been taken out of their game plan. I mean, it's tough to take them out of their game plan. They just want to run the ball over and over and over again, run the damn ball. Do I trust him in that situation? I think it's an interesting talking point. We'll spend more time on that later on. And in fact, we'll do that coming up next. What is your level of trust in this quarterback right now? I think that he's got the most individual pressure of any player on that football field on him. You're going to hear from Ryan Tannehill coming up next. We'll take your phone calls as well. 615-737-1045. Don't forget Jarrell Casey at 11 o'clock. We got the dumbest thing in sports this week coming up later in the show as well. Stick around. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Cincinnati Bengals. a radio analyst for, I think, something like 40 years. He's going to join us as well. But we're going to be live out at Scoreboard Bar and Grill tomorrow and on Friday. By the way, Will Compton, who has been ducking us since he got another NFL job, not really. It's, you know, the meeting times conflicted with when we do the radio show while he was out in Vegas. But now he is out of the playoffs. He is back in training or whatever. And Will is going to come and do the show live with us from Scoreboard Bar and Grill tomorrow. So we hope that you guys will come hang out with us as well. We got Mina Kimes on tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Playoff football, by the way, you know it's here. And the best place to watch it is Scoreboard Bar and Grill. They got live music, football with sound, golf, oysters, baked pineapple, teriyaki, or if you dig them, they got them raw. Scoreboard, playoffs, killer music, food, fun, and booze. Scoreboard Bar and Grill is where we'll be doing the show live from tomorrow. So what is your level of trust in Ryan Tannehill? Now, I bring this up based off the conversation that we had on the radio show yesterday, right? He's the most, or in my opinion, he's the player with the most individual pressure on him. And then I was watching Get Up on ESPN this morning, and Mike Greenberg, they have any number of different lists and rankings every morning on Get Up. And, you know, for as much as that stuff drives me crazy, it plays. Got my attention. Because Greenberg ranked his confidence in the quarterbacks remaining in the playoffs. So there's 8 quarterbacks remaining. Greeny's got his top 5. Number 1, Tom Brady. Number 2, Josh Allen. Over number 3, Aaron Rodgers, and number 4, Patrick Mahomes. And number 5 is Joe Burrow, which is pretty interesting. Jimmy Garoppolo has played in a Super Bowl. Ryan Tannehill has reached an AFC title game. Matt Stafford, there are some questionable interceptions in there, but I would argue that Matt Stafford is a better player at the quarterback position than Joe Burrow is right now, even as Burrow is hugely promising in his career. But Ryan Tannehill is nowhere to be found anytime you put one of these general polls out there about, all right, of the quarterbacks remaining, given that there's only 8 left, where does Ryan Tannehill stack up for you? 615-737-1045. Do you trust this quarterback if they have to get into a different kind of game that takes the Tennessee Titans a bit out of their game plan? Because against the Bengals, who can score, it's entirely possible that will be the case. Let's go to Brian, who's in Madison, Tennessee, who wants to weigh in. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning. Good morning.
What's happening, buddy? What you got for me?
My thing on Tannehill, no, he's not. He's not elite, and yes, he's under a lot of pressure. And I've been one of Tannehill's biggest critics, number-wise. But if Ryan Tannehill is listening, this is your chance. No pressure. No pressure. But this is your chance to show the world that you can be elite by using your legs. So in the past, we've always had good running quarterbacks. Vince Young, Mariota, Air McNair. You're that same caliber of athlete. So if you want to help the Titans win this game, you don't have to prove to the world that you're a pocket passer. If it ain't there, tuck it and go. You're athletic enough to get some yards, to get some good first downs, some third and longs, first downs with your leg. Use your leg, and let's win. That's all I got.
Hey, thanks very much for the call, Brian. 615-737-1045. You can jump in. Mobility is a big part of his game. When you look at Ryan Tannehill and what he's able to do with his legs, it's not necessarily about, like, outright rushing production. There's not going to be a situation where, like with Josh Allen, who several times this season has led his team in rushing, or Lamar Jackson, or Kyler Murray has this ability. Like, Ryan Tannehill is it even above average mobility anymore? Lucas, you're nodding your head at me. Because I'm thinking, quarterback has evolved so much. Like, how many Tom Brady statues in the pocket do you see out there in the NFL? Stafford is another one of these guys. Rodgers can move a little bit, even though he's getting kind of older. Burrow is, I mean, not even to do the white quarterback thing, but Joe Burrow is legitimately sneaky athletic.
Yeah, but I think above average mobility, Ryan Tannehill most certainly would fall into that category. I mean, also his history personally as an athlete, as a wide receiver, I think when you look at the average quarterback mobility, I mean, who would you put in that frame? Aaron Rodgers? I mean, he's smart. He knows how to use his legs, but, you know, he's not going to outrun an outside linebacker to the sideline majority of the time.
What the caller brings up is a good point, though. Seven rushing touchdowns, again, back-to-back seasons for Ryan Tannehill. Seven. That's 14th in the league among not just quarterbacks. That's 14th among qualified rushers. Like running backs, Deebo Samuel, who's got a who's broke the NFL record for most rushing touchdowns by a wide receiver. Ryan Tannehill has seven. It's a big part of what they're able to do offensively, and it's a great asset in their arsenal. I would fully expect that to be, I mean, it's regularly a part of the game plan. They always have that weapon at their disposal, and if the play breaks down, I do trust Ryan Tannehill to make the right decision with his legs. Now, You know what stresses me out about Ryan Tannehill? Ryan Tannehill is the most stressful runner in the NFL at the quarterback position, I'm convinced. Because I don't know why he doesn't slide. It's so perplexing to me. He's an athlete. He should be able to slide. He should be able to do this. And yet he refuses. Like, I admire if it's, you know, I'm just going to try and get that extra yard. That 1 yard will make all the difference in the world. And he doesn't get outright blowed up, but every time he takes off and I'm just sitting there in the press box, like my fists get tight because I'm like, slide, you idiot, slide. Why won't you get down? He just won't do it. I trust him. Here's what I'll say, because I tell you guys all the time, don't trust anything like outright implicitly, right? You're discerning. You're able to make your own decisions. Now, you know, there's a whole different scenario if you're talking about societally, and we can get into things about people making their own decisions in ways that are definitely questionable, but for the purposes of football, okay? Don't trust anything implicitly. Let's stick to sports. Ryan Tannehill, I trust him as the Titans quarterback if he is adequately protected. I do. I think that this player is more than capable of elevating the rest of the offense around him from a skill position standpoint if he is adequately protected by the offensive line that's in front of him. Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, and Ben Jones, when they're healthy and out there together, I think they've been studs. A lot of you, I know, heard Roger Saffold on with 3HL yesterday as they do their Football Feast? Is that the name of the feature at Buffalo Wild Wings? They go to different Buffalo Wild Wings? I think it's called Football Feast. Anyway, Roger Saffold goes out there with him a lot, and you could tell how much better Roger felt, talking about the injuries that he's dealing with, how much better the offensive line feels about their chemistry. And from my standpoint, you don't want to add a bunch of qualifiers, because the question is, do you trust him or not? And I would say to you, I do. But I trust him even more if the protection is even just adequate. Because what I've seen from Ryan Tannehill when he has enough time, and even when he doesn't, like, for example, 3rd and 5 against the Houston Texans, when I believe Mike Keith called him buried.
Texans act as if they might blitz. Tannehill in the gun. Here comes pressure. Tannehill, he's buried. He gets away. He rolls to his right. He throws downfield. Westbrook Akina all alone. 45-40, and he's run out of bounds in the 36-yard line. Murray got it. What a play by Tannehill. He was dead to rights.
Even when the protection's not good, he's good when the play breaks down. And we had Mike Keith on the radio show after that Texans game, and what Mike said was it was McNair-esque. Mike Keith, who's been a part of every Titans game since the franchise came here. Mike Keith, who has seen the highs and the lows of Steve McNair as the Tennessee Titans quarterback. Ryan Tannehill is, by without question, and there's not like a long list of great names at the quarterback position outside of Ryan Tannehill and Steve McNair that have been able to elevate this franchise in that way. But there's no question to me that Ryan Tannehill is certainly the best Titans quarterback since Steve McNair. And how his legacy as the quarterback of this franchise will be remembered will be very much defined by this coming playoff maybe run, or these playoff appearances, we'll see, plural. We don't know. There will be a narrative formed around Ryan Tannehill based on this postseason. And I'm curious to know how many Titans fans are willing to have that conversation about, all right, at what point do you talk about him being maybe not outright better than Steve McNair all around, but when it comes to the playing of the quarterback position, there's a lot of things that you see from Tannehill that even McNair wasn't capable of doing. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Jason in Murfreesboro, who's up next. Hello, Jason.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Appreciate the call.
While I'm sitting here working in the rain, I'm sitting here thinking about, I don't know what the weather's supposed to be like in the forecast and how this field's going to be played on Saturday. Like, are we going to have a good solid field, or are there going to be a lot of slipping and sliding because it's going to be cold for the next few days?
And yeah, there's no question.
All I see is a lot of rushing up in between the tackles. You don't want to do a lot of cut moves because you're going to slip and fall. Or you try to do a pass, like a slant or something. I see a lot of balls to the sideline, or maybe long passes downfield.
It's a good point, Jason. I appreciate the call, and make sure you try and stay dry as best you can. I know the weather's not great out there, but we appreciate the call, and we appreciate you listening while you work. So I'm looking at the Weather Channel right now at it's just weather.com. Saturday at this point, a high of 24. So it's going to be brisk. Low of 17. Remember, that's a 3:30 Central Time kick. Now, the weather is supposed to be mostly sunny. And as we sit here on Wednesday, our precipitation is expected to be, 50% chance of snow right now, accumulations of less than 1 inch. There's a 15% chance of precipitation on Thursday, down to 7 on Friday, when it's supposed to be sunny with a high of 20, and a 7% chance of precipitation on Saturday. Fields in as good a shape as it could possibly be. Again, not just an important bye week off for the players, but the playing surface for at Nissan Stadium needed some much, much needed maintenance. That has been the case. Now, they're going to do everything they can to protect it as it's an outdoor grass field. So they're going to make sure that all of the things that need to be done are in as best possible position to make sure that they've got that. Now, he brought up routes like outbreaking routes. That's not really what the Titans offense is, right? Ryan Tannehill throwing outside the numbers, that's not, of all the places where you kind of look at the strengths and weaknesses of his game, throwing outside the numbers isn't something exactly that he does all that well. And really, they don't do it that often. What they do is it's a ton of in-breaking routes, whether it's off-play action, whether you're talking about quick slants, all these things. And, of course, running the ball inside the tackles, off tackles, things of that nature. Those are always going to be staples of the Titans' running game. And I'm not saying that they don't have outbreaking route concepts within their offense. I'm just saying it's not a big part of what they like to do if they're playing their game the way that they want to play it. Now, they may not have a choice. But at this point, I'm looking at this and saying, yeah, I think as good of field conditions as humanly possible, it's going to be very cold, and they're giving away blankets basically for the first 20,000 fans who get into the stadium on Saturday ahead of this game. By the way, we're going to have a lot of pregame coverage. We're going to be outside of Nissan Stadium on the Lee Company countdown to kickoff, as we are before every home game. So I'm looking forward to being out there myself and then going into Nissan Stadium and seeing how this game ends up playing out. But make sure you are dressed appropriately, because it is going to be quite frigid on Saturday. We haven't heard from RJ in Phoenix in quite some time. Where you been hiding?
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing, man?
I'm good. What's up, buddy?
Okay, so I am going to attempt to get racked and paid off all in one call.
All right.
I'm going to make it quick. What quarterback do I trust that's left in the playoffs? Okay, well, Jimmy Garoppolo, we beat him. Matthew Stafford, we beat him. The dude in Buffalo, we beat him. The dude in Kansas City, we beat him. Cincinnati, we're finna beat them this weekend. So that only leaves Tom Brady, who's the GOAT, and Aaron Rodgers. And Tannehill ain't better than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, so I'll rank him third. Okay, that takes care of that. Everybody's talking about they want national attention. Okay, first of all, why do you want to listen to somebody who don't watch the team? You got the best information through the Buck Rising show on 104.5.
Thank
you.
You
feel me? And when they show the seeding, when they show the bracket, Tennessee is always number one. That's all the national attention you need. Soak it up. Next week, when Kansas City plays Buffalo, the announcer's going to have to say, because it's part of the narrative, no matter who wins, because Tennessee plays first, no matter who wins between Kansas City and Buffalo, Tennessee has already beat both of them. And they don't, that's all the national attention you need. Go on and rack me.
Go on, give it to him. He can ask for it. That's fine. RJ in Phoenix with the walk-off.
He didn't get the Oscars music, but he got the rack.
He got close.
Got close. Finger was on the trigger.
We were teetering at the 90-second mark.
I think I'm going to set it back to 60.
60?
Yeah.
Well, you're putting people on an even shorter shot clock.
60 seconds.
60 seconds.
90 feels like a lot.
I think a minute of opinion is appropriate. So if you go longer than 60 seconds, if you're unfamiliar with this new bit that Lucas is trying to pull off behind the scenes, if you start to hear music, it means you've gone over 60 seconds. It's the Oscars music. It means that we're playing you off and Lucas is then going to fade you down because, you know, we love when you guys call in, but we do get a lot of calls, so we want to make sure that we're giving everybody adequate time. To his point about national media and coverage that the Titans get, I've got a really, really good article that I was reading this morning. We're spending some more time on it in the noon hour about the Titans, about the AFC and the market sizes of the four teams left on this side of the bracket. It's going to surprise you. You're going to want to make sure that you hear that because I think it's going to play into a lot of that media discussion, that media narrative that Titans fans, you know, whether I think it's fair for them to get hung up on it because people don't talk about them. And that's fine. Like, I don't care. I'm going to talk about it. Lucas, I'm looking at the grid. Do I have a segment that's not Titans today? I don't. I mean, we got Dumbest Thing in Sports, and my Dumbest Thing in Sports isn't Titans related. But other than that, like, I'm talking Tennessee Titans for 3 hours. 104.5 The Zone is on from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. I've got a streaming show for A to Z Sports that I do Sunday through Thursday night, and I've done 3 straight Titans shows. I got a podcast with Greg Cosell. I'm not just talking about the stuff that I do. But, like, locally, you got what you need here. So the clamoring, you know, I hate that it's such a focal point because people like me are sitting here looking at this like I'm literally doing like 75 shows a week to get people the kind of content that they want, and all I got to hear about is they don't talk about us on First 10 while they're talking about Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. Would you rather have Rodgers or Brady? That's the topic on First Take right now, which is fine. It's a good conversation. More people are going to be interested in it. But other than that, I mean, I'm throwing my hands up in the air. What more do you want? I'm trying. Back to the Tannehill conversation. We go to Joey in Cross Plains, who's up next on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning, Buck. So I do trust Tannehill.
Yes.
Probably like 80%.
Okay.
While I was on hold, I was thinking about it. And I would put McNair ahead of him right now because McNair did lead us.
Of course. There is no question.
But if Tannehill leads us to a Super Bowl, or when he leads us to a Super Bowl this year and we win it, I would put Tannehill ahead of McNair because of that, because of what Tannehill has done this year, you know, in the second time, you know, to the AFC and then, you know, and into the Super Bowl. But if we, when we win the Super Bowl, I would put Tannehill above McNair.
You know, and I think, Joey, a lot of people are going to disagree with that. Here's the thing about Steve McNair, because I agree with you, Joey. I think that if Ryan Tannehill gets you to a Super Bowl, you can start to have that conversation. Until another Titans quarterback does that, Steve McNair remains at the top of the mountain as far as Titans quarterbacks are concerned. He's on the Nashville, and even if Ryan Tannehill or whomever, quarterbacks in years to come, find ways to help this franchise advance to great heights in the playoffs. You know, Steve McNair is always going to be Titans QB1. He's on the Nashville I don't want to do a Mount Rushmore. I don't. But
you almost said it. You were so close.
Well, listen, I'm still leading. We haven't talked about this since the summer, but I'm still leading the campaign to do away with those god awful pixie sticks. You know what I'm talking about over there off 8th Avenue downtown, right by the Music City, right by the Music City Center. I'm still trying. I'm actively leading the campaign to do away with the giant pixie sticks that looks like somebody just painted telephone poles, spare telephone poles that they had. I'm actively advocating for a Steve McNair Pecorine statue to be placed in that spot instead of that atrocity that somebody is trying to convince me and has been trying to convince me for years at this point that that is art. I would strongly contest that notion. Give me a legitimate Nashville sports like statue, sculpture, whatever, or even like music. Just get the pixie sticks the hell out of here. I could do a whole show on the godforsaken pixie sticks. We'll get more of your phone calls on this coming up next. What is your level of trust in Ryan Tannehill? And what quarterbacks currently in the postseason, you look at the 8 teams remaining, including the Titans, how many of those 8 would you take over Ryan Tannehill? I think that's an interesting conversation. We'll talk about it coming up next. Jarrell Casey going to join us in about 20 minutes from now. Stick around. It's 104.5 The Zone. Now, if you listen to this show regularly, one, thank you. We appreciate that. Two, you realize what a silly and largely stupid show that we do. For example, I was asked about the weather, the forecast for Saturday at Nissan Stadium. And I pulled up the Weather Channel. Trusty, reliable Weather Channel. Weather.com. Doesn't get more reliable than that. And I gave you the forecast for Nashville, Tennessee, or so I thought. Except somebody has tweeted us. In fact, it was Titantown615 tweeted us saying, check your location, bud. It's not our forecast. And you know what? He was right. My Weather Channel app was still set to Pittsburgh from a couple of weeks ago. Thank you for all of your... You didn't help me either back there.
No.
You didn't do anything to bail me out of that. Me out here giving people misinformation and fake news. This is the forecast, the actual forecast for Middle Tennessee, for Nashville and Nissan Stadium, specifically on Saturday, January 22. And I've made sure that my location is correct. A high of 38, a low of 24, partly cloudy, and a 4% chance of precipitation. So, about a 17-degree difference in the temperature at Nissan Stadium, which would make a big difference if you're attending. So my apologies for that. Thank you very much, Titantown615, for making me check my location on the Weather Channel. How often do you do that? I mean, I don't know if I'm in this phase of my life where I'm starting to be more like my parents. Like, I watch the Weather Channel. Like, I never used to watch the Weather Channel. I now care about the weather on a day-to-day basis. This is clearly and obviously the aging process for me, but like I've done that several times where I'm looking at my forecast and because I travel for Titans games, there's like any number of nine different cities that have been saved in my weather forecast that I've botched.
Is it just the regular weather app on your iPhone?
No, the regular weather app on the iPhone cannot be terrible. It's just trash. It's just complete and total trash. That thing is as unreliable as I am reading the weather.
It says it's 90 degrees right now. That doesn't sound right.
What?
No, it doesn't say that. It's 50.
Good one, Lucas. Let's back to the phones. Antoine is in Nashville up next on his level of trust in Ryan Tannehill. What of the 8 quarterbacks remaining? This is the question that we're asking you. How many would you take over the Titans QB? Antoine in Nashville is next. Hello.
Bug, what up?
What do you know?
Not too much, Bug. This is... Out of all the players, I'm going to stick with my guy, Tannehill.
Out of every quarterback, Antoine, every quarterback that's left?
Out of every quarterback that's left, I'm going to stick with Tannehill.
Wow.
That's what's been working for us. And as far as the callers, and we ain't beat Tom Brady. Now, they forget that we beat that we ended Tom Brady's dynasty in New England. So if there's one quarterback out there that's afraid of the Titans, is going to be Tom Brady. Ooh. And he will always remember the Titans.
You're not wrong. That was a defining moment in Tom Brady's career.
It was. It was. And like I say, if there's one team that he does fear, it is the Tennessee Titans. And with all of his guys, all of his guys back, the offensive line back healthy. He got his wide receivers. He got the Winter Soldier back. Let me tell you, I don't know about the Oscars music, but the guys are back in town.
Okay. I appreciate what you fade him, Lucas. I thought he was going to put on a show for us. Now, here's what I'll say. I'm not take respectfully, and I think Ryan Tannehill's a great quarterback. I don't think that I would take Ryan Tannehill over Aaron Rodgers or over Tom Brady. I wouldn't take him over Patrick Mahomes. Wouldn't take him over Josh Allen. There's 8 quarterbacks left in the field. I would take him over Matt Stafford. Joe Burrow, the experience to me there matters, even though I think Burrow is going to be a stud and is a stud at this point in his career. There are 4 quarterbacks remaining in the postseason, 4 of 8 that I would take over Ryan Tannehill. And I don't think that's a stretch by any sense of the imagination. I think that's quite reasonable. Now, this is an interesting conversation because you remember that Tom Brady was almost a Titan. Now, how close it actually got, it's a matter of some debate. But Tom Brady was being legitimately considered before Ryan Tannehill's contract was extended here as the future, quote-unquote, as at 44 years old. By the way, you know Brady is older than every NFC coach remaining in the playoff field. He's 44. The rest of them are like 42. It's disgusting.
Every other NFC coach, right, besides Bruce Arians.
Well, yeah, Arians is like in his 70s at this point in the Kangol. But that, to me, is wild. I would not take Ryan Tannehill over those 4 that I mentioned. But the other 3, sign me up. I got Chase in Jacksonville, Florida, who's calling in to talk about Tannehill. Hello, Chase.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, so I completely agree with you. I would take him over Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford, and Jimmy Garoppolo, of course. But he's definitely not up there with Tom Brady and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes right now. But we don't need him to be at that level because of the weapons and how we built the team around him. And he steps up in clutch moments when he needs to, and that's all we really ask of him is to game manage and step up in clutch moments, which a lot of people forget that since he's taken over as a starter, he's been one of the most clutch QBs in the NFL. But that's my point of view on Ryan Tannehill right now. Thank you for letting me talk.
Hey, thanks for the call, Chase. 615-737-1045. It's a football team that's built differently, right? Now, quarterback is important. You've seen how much he has elevated the football team from what it was with Marcus Mariota to what it is now with him as the signal caller. There is no disputing this. Even the most diehard of Mariota fans, and rightfully so, Marcus Mariota was the bridge quarterback, even though he was the second overall pick. It's funny to look at a second overall pick that way, but at this point, it's the case. Ryan Tannehill is an interesting case study in how good does your how close to elite, because I really believe there's only, I would say, 3 elite quarterbacks in the NFL. I think the elite term is thrown around too much. Shout out Joe Flacco. But what that
on a scale of Tom Brady to Joe Flacco.
I don't want to be mean to Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, Super Bowl MVP. Well, let me put respect on Joe Flacco's name. But I do think it's an interesting conversation because how great does your quarterback need to be for you to be able to legitimately win a Super Bowl? I don't know what the answer to that question is. Rex Grossman made a Super Bowl. Stop it. You've seen terrible quarterbacks make Super Bowls. Joe Flacco was not outright terrible. He was fine. But he won games basically doing the Carson Wentz offense before the Carson Wentz offense. Pass interference plays down the field. He's just overshooting Torrey Smith for like 45-yard gains. Offense by defensive pass interference, it's an effective strategy. Worked for Flacco. I mean, the sample size of Trent Dilfer is always brought up. Now, the game has obviously changed, but I think Tannehill is kind of like the baseline for how good does your quarterback need to be before you ultimately need that position to help elevate you toward championship caliber. I believe that to be the case. Now, the lines are loaded. Listen, we got Jarrell Casey coming up next. I want you guys to stay right there or jump in if you want to, 615-737-1045, because we'll continue this conversation. But when we come back, the legend, number 99, Jarrell Casey joins us. He's the 12th on Saturday. And he's going to be up with us next on 104.5 The Zone.